And now David's going to bring our reading. Thank you, David.
This morning's reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at the first verse. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you have conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honoured. Go to the priest in charge at that time and say to him, "With this gift I acknowledge to the Lord your God that I have entered the land he swore to our ancestors he would give us." The priest will then take the basket from your hand and set it before the altar of the Lord your God. You must then say in the presence of the Lord your God, "My ancestor Jacob was a wandering Armenian who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I have brought you the first portion of the harvest you have given to me from the ground. Then place the produce before the Lord your God and bow to the ground in worship before him. Afterward, you may go and celebrate because of all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Remember to include the Levites and the foreigners living among you in the celebration." Amen.
Thank you, David. As I mentioned earlier, it's really interesting to celebrate harvest in a place where the local community had a real connection with farming and harvesting. It reminds me of a story when we had a new head from Taunton who'd come to look after school in the village. And he was really surprised at some of the excuses that happened of why children were late. Sorry, we had to take a cow to Ilminster, so that's why the children are late. Or he was talking to some of the parents in the playground, and they looked really tired, and they said, "Well, we've been up all night lambing." So it was a very different place. In our towns and cities, often we've lost touch with agriculture and with what it means to depend on the land. The Israelites lived in an agrarian society, growing crops, grain and fruit, rearing animals. That was what they did. They depended on agriculture in order to live. If there was a bad harvest one year and they hadn't collected enough, people starved during the coming winter. And if there were several bad harvests, the community might never recover. They were aware of their dependence on God and on the harvest. They planted and they cared for the crops, they worked hard harvesting them, but God provided the rain and God caused the crops to grow. When God had led his people to the land he'd promised them, he called them to celebrate three festivals linked to harvest. The first one is the celebration of first fruits or first harvest. And this was celebrated the day after the Sabbath during the festival of unleavened bread. It was part of the Passover festival, celebrating how God had brought his people out of slavery in Egypt and into the land he'd promised them. The people were to take a bundle of grain from the first cutting of the barley harvest and offer it to God. And there are some important principles for us today. Firstly, they were to give the first fruits to God. They didn't wait till the end of the harvest see how much there was, and if they had enough, then give some to God. They were to give God the first portion of the harvest. And in the same way, we should give God the first portion of the harvest. Normally we receive money, not things that we've grown directly, but it means we shouldn't wait till the end of the month and see if we've got anything left to give to God, but we should give him the first part, the amount that he's laid on our hearts. This is an act of worship, thanking God for the harvest, but also an act of trust, trusting God that he would enable them to gather in all of the harvest over the coming weeks. They were trusting God that the right weather conditions would enable the rest of the harvest to be fruitful and that they'd be able to gather it in safely and have enough to survive the winter. They were acknowledging their complete dependence on God. Sometimes in our society, we lose this sense of being totally dependent on God because we have jobs and we earn money and we have money in the bank maybe, and we forget that all that we need still ultimately comes from God and that we need to trust in him and not in the particular job that we've got at the moment or the money we have in the bank. The second festival was the festival of harvest, or the festival of weeks. And later it became known as Pentecost. And that was because it was celebrated on the 50th day after the festival of first fruits. And the word Pentecost derives from the Greek word for 50. So that's why it's called that. At this festival, the first portions of the wheat harvest were brought and lifted to God in the form of 2 loaves of bread. It was a festival of thanksgiving for the end of the barley harvest, but also included the same sense of trusting God at the beginning of the wheat harvest. The last couple of verses about this festival are really interesting. This is what it says. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and don't pick up anything that the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. Following this command would have required compassion and generosity and also trust in God. The people were not to grab every little bit of grain they could possibly find and store it away, trusting in that to survive the winter. They were called to be generous to those within the community who had no means of providing for themselves. And I think it's really interesting, isn't it, at this time in our country's life and in all that's going on in our country, to remember that God said we are to care for the poor and we are to care for the foreigners that are living amongst us and we are to be generous towards them. God's plan for his community was not for some people to get richer and richer and others to get poorer and poorer, but for everyone to have enough. But this also wasn't just a handout. The grain was left in the edges of the fields, and those who needed it would need to go out to work and to harvest what they needed. We live in a materialistic society, don't we? And it's really easy to get sucked into feeling that we need to get more and more things, and we need to have that thing we just saw on television, and that we need more. And this passage has something to say to us about not grasping, not seeking to just get more and more and more, but holding things lightly and being generous towards those who are in need and who have no way of helping themselves. The third festival is the festival of shelters or tabernacles. And this is from Leviticus in 23. The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Begin celebrating the festival of shelters on the 15th day of the appointed month, 5 days after the Day of Atonement. This festival to the Lord will last 7 days. On the first day, you must proclaim an official day for holy assembly when you do no ordinary work. For 7 days you must present special gifts to the Lord. The eighth day is another holy day on which you present your gifts to the Lord. It's a solemn occasion and no ordinary work will be done. Remember this 7-day festival to the Lord. It begins on the 15th day of the appointed month after you've harvested all the produce of the land. On the first day, gather branches from the trees, palm fronds, boughs from leafy trees, willows grown by the streams. Then celebrate with joy before the Lord your God for 7 days. This was a joyful celebration of thanksgiving and worship to God. At the end of the harvest time, when everything was safely gathered in and when they knew that they'd got what they needed for the cold winter ahead. It included some days of much needed rest, time to enjoy being together, to celebrate. And as part of this festival, the Israelites were to build special shelters and live in them during the week, remembering the time when the people of Israel were living in temporary shelters in the wilderness before they reached the promised land. Here, much of our harvest is gathered in, and we thank God for all he's provided. We celebrate the gifts he has given. We bring him our harvest offerings as an act of worship. But we also recognise that some harvests, like the willow harvest, haven't been gathered in yet. And like the Israelites, we come knowing that we depend on God to provide the right conditions for it to grow, and trusting that it'll be gathered in at the appropriate time. We also come to thank God for the fruit of our work and the things that we do during the week. We all work in some way, whether it's paid or voluntary, or in the home or with family. Perhaps some of you work with teams or projects, and you can think about what you've achieved together. Others of you might work with your hands, creating, cooking, fixing things. And when you've finished, you can look at what you've done with pride or gratitude. Other people work with people, caring, nurturing, instructing. And we can look back and consider the role we've played in other people's lives. God has given us the gifts and the abilities, the energies, everything we've needed for this fruit to be produced. And we come thanking God for all he's provided and all that he's enabled us to do. And we come acknowledging our dependence on him for the future and for our future work and for our trust in him to continue to provide all that we need. The New Testament picks up harvest festival language and uses it about a different harvest. You may have caught that in one of the songs we were singing. The growth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ until all of creation will come under his loving rule. Matthew 9 says this. Jesus travelled through all the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues, announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field." Jesus is still looking for workers in the field of the world to take part in his mission, sharing the love of God with those who haven't experienced it yet, trusting that God will bring the fruit of more lives transformed. The New Testament describes Christians as the first fruits of what God is doing to restore all of creation. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." And there's two challenges for us to think about today. Firstly, will you accept the invitation of Jesus to be a worker in his harvest field, to share God's love with other people? And secondly, will you accept the challenge of holding material things lightly, trusting God, so that we can be generous with what we have? Let's pray together.